So 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ through God, and as through God making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ be reconciled to God." So ask again, who in here is a full-time minister? If you're a Christian, your hand should be up. You know, we're all full-time ministers. But yes, we are also the other hats that we wear in our professional lives. We're nurses, we're teachers, we're administrators, we're executive assistants, we're childcare workers, we're students. If you're in college, your work is your school. That's your workplace, is your campus or your, you know, classroom setting. Making a difference in our workplaces, I guess, really just begins with recognizing that our workplaces are our mission field. We all have the mission to show God to the world and to draw the lost to him. We are his ambassadors. But having that highly defined, transparent life in a secular workplace can be a little hard. I mean, let's face it, we can't stand up before class and lead everyone in prayer, you know, recite Bible verses all day long. You know, but we do have an opportunity to stand out and to draw attention to how different we are, but not in weird, culty-looking ways, you know, but in very just practical, down-to-earth type ways. Like if you've ever read in Daniel how Daniel was in Babylon. Here was someone trying to live a godlike, you know, a very godly life in probably the most evil, wicked society that was ever seen and probably has ever been seen since. I mean, they burned their children in the fire, you know, to sacrifice to their idols. We don't live in anything near like that today. Metaphorically, yes, but, you know, not really. But our lives are works in process. I'm not perfect. Y'all aren't perfect. We're not perfect employees, you know, or the best ambassadors, but we can make it our aim to do our best to represent Jesus adequately through what we do and what we say, or through what we don't do or what we don't say. You know, and that's what it means to be an ambassador in the workplace, or to be a good witness. Or Gina was talking about songs earlier. There's a song about we're made to glow in the dark. You know, and we can do that. We can shine very brightly as ambassadors. We can end up being an embarrassment or horrible misrepresentation of the Lord and his kingdom in basically just three very simple areas. It's simple. This isn't, you know, real rocket science with these things that I see people in my work environment who say they're Christians, yet these three things, you see people just absolutely destroy their witness. Remember, as an ambassador, you're someone in a foreign land who represents their home and speaks for the ruler or the president, the king, the government of that land. And how people see the ambassador is how they see the land that they represent. How our co-workers, our fellow students, see us is how they are going to see Jesus. So it's a big deal. But the first area is just work hard. Colossians 3:17 and then 23 through 24 says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." And then skipping down to 23 says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." As Christians, we should be the hardest working employees or students in our workplace. I mean, just hands down. I'm not talking about being a workaholic. There's a balance to be had in things, but when we're on the job, when we're on work time, when we're on school time, whatever, we should be fully committed and good examples. It's talking about just being known for a very solid work ethic. And this matters even more so if you don't like your job. If you find it demeaning, boring, unimportant, remember, we work for the Lord, we don't work for man. It doesn't matter what your job is. We're representing Christ to the world. So work hard. You know, and case in point, you know, just recently I had AT&T come to my house taking care of some stuff. You know, if you think you've ever had a technician come to your house to take care of something, and here's your impression, they show up an hour late, They track mud in your house. They're on their phone on a personal conversation. Well, what's your opinion now of AT&T? This could be just a louse, and every other person that they have is fantastic. But what your opinion of AT&T is now based on the performance of this one person, you know. And the Bible has a lot to say about being a hard worker and not being lazy. 1 Thessalonians 2:9 says, "For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, working day and night so as not to be a burden to any of you." And 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12 says, "Even for when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading undisciplined life, doing no work but acting like busybodies." So just work hard, you know, have a good work ethic, do your job. Proverbs 10:26 says, "Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes is the lazy one to the one who sent him." Like Proverbs. Yeah, so on top of working hard, behave.
What?
I mean, just behave. You're a Christian, act like it. And this can get down into, some people want to argue deep theological, conjugating Greek verbs of, is it okay to this or that? I'm not talking the big things. I'm talking the very simple stuff. Be kind. You know, be nice. Play well with others. These type things. Be honest. Don't steal things. Don't cut corners. Don't flub reports. Don't plagiarize reports. Don't, you know, tell little white lies or not tell the whole truth. You know, these kind of things. Behavior can kind of, this can be broken down into two areas. We have our actions and our attitude. So I'm going to kind of work this down too, to the easiest to accomplish to the hardest to accomplish. Working hard is pretty easy to do. You know, people are hard workers. Behaving, okay, I think most part we can say we behave pretty well. So actions. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that of the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, glorify God." So people are going to see you behaving. They know you're a Christian. Your words and your actions match. People recognize that, and they'll glorify God. Even if they choose to never ever follow him, they'll see that. Philippians 2:14-15. My kids hate this verse. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among which you appear as lights in the world." You know, just be a woman of solid ethics, morals, and integrity. You know, we live in a society where the little white lies and the little crimes, taking a box of pens home, just those type things, putting your own personal mail in the work mail to go out that's going to get paid for, having your friend, cheating off your friend's test stuff, turning in work that you know you didn't do, these type things, over I work, taking patient refreshment supplies out of the patient care area because I don't feel like walking down to the cafeteria. Or I'm busy, feel like I earned it. I didn't get enough on my paycheck. They don't pay me enough for what I do, so I'm going to take XYZ. Well, that's stealing, is what that is, pure and simple. You know, so just behave. A little bit harder than maintaining our actions has to do with our attitude. Philippians 2:3-6 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped." You know, so he humbled himself with that. Good attitude at all times is essential and rare. This is one of the main areas where you will stand out and above other people in the workplace that see you on a consistent basis. They're going to see what kind of attitude you normally have. You know, attitudes are contagious, both good and bad. And they're really hard to cover up. So when you're struggling to have a good attitude, remember the very first passage that we talked about in Colossians, you know, that talks about whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him, through God the Father. Attitude is one of also the hardest things to fake. People who you work with on a day-to-day basis. This isn't the, you know, just the person you run into at the grocery store. These are people who see you. These are people who, if there's hypocrisy in your life, they're going to find it out. Over time, you can be a hard worker and not be a good-hearted, you know, and not just have that character of Christ. You can behave in your actions. Attitude is one of the first places that's going to set you apart from people of the world. I mean, even if you just think about how our world celebrates bad attitudes and jokes about it, it's funny, it's the normative. Look at how many grumpy cat pictures there are. How many people have a grumpy cat mug or something sitting on their desk at work that say, "Don't talk to me until I've had my second cup of coffee." I mean, you know, we joke about this and we laugh about it as if it's okay to just have a bad attitude. And it's not. Jesus didn't have a bad attitude. We're supposed to act like Him. You know, and I think I read something recently, a Facebook post that was talking about how grumbling is probably the most excused and overlooked sin in the church. You know, we just think it's okay to complain and grumble and just be ugh. And it's not okay. That's not what the fruit of the Spirit is. That's not what we're supposed to look like when we have the Holy Spirit living in us. You know, so yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is kind of how, like I said, if you struggle yourself having a good attitude, I'm not talking about being fake, I'm talking about being transformed. You know, and it comes from a general attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. Do you look at your life as what you have or what you don't have? What you've been given or what you've been cheated out of? That's a lot of times where that shows up in our attitudes, you know, at work. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, as 1 Thessalonians. And then the fruit of the Spirit, this is what we should be aiming to look more and more like as we grow in Christ, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's in Galatians 5. These are the things we're supposed to start looking like. And these are the things that show up in your attitude. These are the things you can't fake. So, but just like our workplace, and like I said, I'll kind of tackle the hardest thing last, but Cassie's going to come up and kind of talk about showing a difference in her workplace, which is college campus.
I don't know if any of you guys know, but the only reason that I know who Christ is because someone, you know, took the time out during class to somehow form a relationship with me and, like, show me who Christ was. So I'm kind of a product of, like, just stepping outside of yourself when you're at the workplace and then also when you're at school, too. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Just kind of, you know, hold on. When you accidentally delete your notes, but you email them to yourself so you don't have to worry about it. Because I can't find it. Hold on. Okay. I think some of, like, the hardest things, so we work with the same people, like, 40 hours a week, or maybe we're at school, too, so we see them probably, like, every day for at least 6 months, or maybe if you're in, like, elementary school or whatever, a year, and you're kind of like, I see you every day, like, there's nothing I can do here, and I think there's a little bit more, if we, like, look for the opportunities that are there. I think the first, like, impact that you made, Jenny touched on it, but it's just being yourself and being real, but also being consistent in that. I think sometimes, like, at work, it's hard not to get caught up in the drama of work, like whether everybody's complaining about something or you're just exhausted or you're tired or you're in class and you just kind of want to go home. I think it's easier to just kind of be and get through the day than actually try to be just purposeful in those things. And I think sometimes just doing the extra steps to like help somebody out, or choosing not to complain, choosing you know, just to be bright, and when it's really dull at work, I used to work in a basement, so I was kind of tired every day, but I think we need to be those bright spots in those rooms, and it says more more than just to your boss that, yes, she's a great worker, she's, you know, good to hear you, good to be here, but I think to your coworkers too, because, you know, like, they get an opinion about you, and they stick with it, and I think it's just being consistent and being Christ-like and choosing to just always be Christ-like with that. I think that's, you know, it's your everyday witness. It's who you, what you wear every day, and who you are and how you act. I think those are important. But like Jenny was talking, it's easy to go and gossip, and it really does ruin your witness. Makes it hard for you to be trusted. Makes it, you know, it's hard to be like, hey, please come to my church if you're gossiping every other day with somebody else. They don't want. I think the world really looks for the hypocrite in a Christian. They want to pick at something that's not quite right. And so I think we really got to be consistent and just being Christ-like in those moments. Like for me and myself, like. Those have really, it's opened some doors for me to just be like, I guess who I am, like in my workplace. I don't expect it to, because when you start a job, you're like nervous because, you know, you're the new kid and everybody's been there for a while and you look like some weird chick and you don't know how to do your job quite yet. So you don't want to stand out and you don't want to be weird or scare anybody, with your Christianity, I guess. But I think, like, some of the ways that I kind of show that, besides being like, hey, look here, I'm a Christian. Sometimes, you know, when someone will come up to me and like, what do you think about this? I'm going through this stuff at home or with my friends. And, you know, you'll hear people be like, yeah, you should really beat her up or maybe call her out on Facebook or something like that. I think when that's like something that I run into a lot. People are like, what do you think about this? Like, me and all the people that are my age, we're like, well, let's talk about each other on Facebook or be rude to each other, and that's the go-to answer. And sometimes you don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to beat people on the head with your Bible. But I think it's, you know, important to just be just confident in God's word too, and be gentle and honest in your responses, because I think the no response or saying it's no big deal, you'll figure it out, I think those are times when we miss opportunities to open a door that could lead someone to Christ. Maybe they hear an answer that they've never heard before from you, and then you can witness to them in that way. I think the second thing probably is just because we do spend 40 hours a week with people and we're tired and exhausted, sometimes we mess up and maybe we're short with somebody, or we're just kind of like, oh, I'm over it, and we're checked out. I think it's a big way that someone can tell that you're a Christian and who you are is what you are. Sometimes you mess up and you're just humble about it. You can own up to your mistakes and apologize if you need to. And it kind of is self-explanatory, but I think sometimes it's easy to feel like, I'm down and out, and I'm done. I'm tired, I'm going home. But I think it says something about who you are and like who you stand for when you just are, okay, I messed up, sorry, can we move on? I know I'm not supposed to carry myself that way. And then especially on the campus, like we are in school or even in the workplace too, but having your eyes open and just looking for opportunities to reach out to people. I know for me, like when I go into like a class, I'm like, everybody's looking at their phones, or they have their headphones in, and they look like they don't want to be talked to or approached, or they don't want anything to do with me, so I'm kind of like, I'm just going to do the same thing, kind of be on my phone for a little bit, and maybe there will be some kind of connection, but usually there's not. So you can go a whole 6 months with the same people in your same class and not talk to a single person. And there, right there, is a lot of missed opportunities there. So I'm going to sound real stupid, but you can always say hi to somebody. especially, I'm like, if someone smiles at me, I'm like, this game on. I'm like, hello, I'm Cassie. And they're like, wow, that goes really weird, and she's crazy, but I guess we could be friends. And I just try to connect with people just, you know, in that way, go take the first step and see if we can, you know, it doesn't always go somewhere. Sometimes people are like, okay, all right, and then they leave and move on with their life, but I just try to get in there and just be friendly with people. And I know they tell you a lot, like, maybe just don't go with the crowd. But I think sometimes where you're, like, in school or maybe even at work, it's okay to go with the crowd sometimes. And by that, I mean, like, say your coworkers are going out to dinner or to lunch together, like, it's okay to go and have lunch with these people that you spend time with, because, you know, I know sometimes it's like, well, they drink and I'm scared and I don't want to be the only one that's sitting there, and, you know, not, don't put yourself in a bad situation, but I'm like, if you're in a Mexican restaurant and you're drinking a root beer, it's okay. Like, I think you can still be, you know, a godly person and still be a witness, and, you know, maybe they ask you a question there that, but you're starting those friendships. I think sometimes people are weirded out by people that are like, they don't want to spend time with us. I think they're too good for us. I'm like, it's not about that. It's just being around people. If I'm being, like, on the campus, I'm like, sometimes I'll have a friend that I meet in class, and they park all the way in the boondocks. So sometimes I do that too, because on the way home, I get to, you know, talk to you. Maybe we can stop in at a school event together and see, let's check it out together, or hey, let's go across the street to DQ after this. Those opportunities there, just use your 5 minutes. You know, walking across the parking lot with those people, it doesn't take a lot, but I think if I had not been invited to a softball game, like, I probably wouldn't be here. I don't even like softball, but I was lonely. Like, I was like, okay, I guess I could go. I don't, you know, and didn't particularly like it, but at that time, like, I needed people in my life, so I was like, well, there's a person, and they want to spend time with me, so I'm going to do that. And, you know, it's those people that are in their classrooms every day and at your workplace. Sometimes they just need people, and they need maybe a friend, and maybe they just need some food. I don't know, but you can always be that person that opens that door for them, because you don't know where it's going to go. So I think, keep saying that, but the last thing is, obviously, if you're in the class, or maybe at work with another Christian or something, you can always text me with somebody. It's a lot easier and less intimidating to be like, hey, we're going to do this, please come with us, than to be like, I really want to get to know you. I don't say that, but I could. It's less intimidating to have a friend with you that can help you out, and you can kind of do stuff together. And those are just practical ways, but I think it all really boils down to just how you carry yourself every day, that person that you are, that Christ makes you to be. Like, he emboldened us, makes us confident, and we just need to accept that and go with it, because we can make that a difference, even if it is at our workplace or in the basement of your workplace. You can have lunch with a friend. So, okay, Pastor Judy, sit down.
Yeah, so, I mean, good example of just employing some of these things. And all of our outreach is going to look different. Our personalities are different. Cassie's a very bubbly and outgoing person. I'm not. Cassie's a funny, entertaining person. I am not. You know, I mean, that's okay. You don't have to change and be some different personality from, you know, but consistency is it. And just who you represent and who you are on a daily basis. And do your words and your actions match who you say you represent? You know, are we acting like Jesus? Are we citizens in the kingdom and do we represent our king well? You know, so things that, like we were talking about, ruin our witness. First is laziness. You know, we need to be working hard with our behavior. Do our actions line up with what we say? Is our attitude a Christ-like attitude? Like I said, don't always have to be this bubbly outgoing, but are we kind? Are we gentle? Are we peaceful? Are we honest? You know, those things. And the last thing, one of the last places that we can absolutely ruin our witness or be just, you know, shining examples of ambassadors glowing in this dark world is to think before you speak. We need to control our tongues. You know, I think there's lots of pride. I really had to whittle down verses. I think probably, you know, a third of the Bible is control your tongue. But I think this is a good example of it. I don't know if you can see what this is. You know, it's a pocket knife. So it can primarily be two things. One is it can be a weapon and cause a lot of damage, or it can be a tool and build a lot of things. Our tongue is the same way. It can either be a weapon that destroys, or it can be a tool that's used to help build the kingdom. You know, we have to think how we use it, and our words matter. You know, Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Do our words build people up, or do they tear people down? And it doesn't have to be the people who are in front of us at the time or not. It can even just be about a social situation. You know, it's a political season. Everyone can get real political. Well, how do we talk? You know, we can not like a candidate, that's fine, but are we talking and sounding just like everybody else, being crass and negative and insulting? You know, or do we help build people up? Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." 2 Timothy 2:23 through 24. Now this is specifically written to Christians on the way that we talk to and about each other. "But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels." This is talking specifically about arguing over debatable points of doctrine, is the context of this passage. "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged." Are you patient when you're wronged? How's your mouth when you're wronged? You know, I mean, these are very difficult things to do. That's why this is, you know, kind of down here at the end. But it's huge. It's absolutely huge. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit, or reap the consequences," or what some of the other translations say. So what I say and how I say it, what you say and how you say it, has a tremendous impact on the people who hear it and on the people around us, whether positive or negative. And as ambassadors of Christ, of the kingdom, we're called to a very high standard with our mouths. And this, again, just like our attitude, will separate us from the world. I mean, very clearly, we should look and sound very different. This means we should avoid profanity. We should be avoiding coarse or crude joking. You know, we should be avoiding gossip. And be careful with sarcasm. That's a double-edged sword. It can be funny, but it can start becoming very critical and cutting people down. And if any of these are a struggle for you, you know, I mean, we're human. Our mouths are all, you know, struggles for all of us. This is something really to repent for, you know, to repent against and seek forgiveness. Also, an opportunity to really reach out and to show you're different to someone at work is to go and to apologize to them for how you spoke, particularly if they didn't hear you say it. There's a lot of power in that. You know, but it isn't just refraining from harmful, sinful speech. But just like that knife is also a great tool, there's great potential in our mouths and in our words as well. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Romans 10:17 actually says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Well, someone's got to speak. You know, it's got to be spoken before it can be heard. You know, so there's lots of good uses of our words instead. You know, so good is aim to say something encouraging to somebody on a daily basis. Like I said, we don't have, this isn't where you come in and if you're not this bubbly, outgoing person, don't try to be because it's fake. But just say something kind to somebody. Recognize something. Say thank you. Say I appreciate that. Say, wow, I noticed you've been having a, you know, really hard day today. Can I do something to help you? A good way to open the door towards witnessing is, can I pray for you? And if you're really bold, can I pray with you? You know, even in just general conversation, people are talking about, hey, what they're doing or what they did this past weekend. Oh, yeah, my church, I fill in the blank. And you can watch to see how do people respond to that. Do they open up or do they shut down to the fact that you said church? Well, you know, one way or the other, and you've mentioned it, so now they know you're a Christian also. You know, and some of these things, it's like you may not see the differences for a long time. I have a very good friend of mine who now is coming to our church. Her oldest son's been baptized. Her middle son just got baptized. She's got her sister coming. Her mom's coming. One day her husband's going to be there. I worked with her and invited her for a year and a half before she came. You know, but it's that kind of daily consistent. Again, I'm not perfect at work. You know, I'm not perfect in any sense of the imagination, but I try to be consistent and just to show love, to behave, to work hard, to not gossip, to not, you know, get involved with the complaining and just the negative atmosphere, those type things, but to lift people up. When I hear somebody complaining about someone else, to say, well, you know, have we thought about this? Maybe they were that, you know, instead of just joining in with the absolutely bashing whatever decision. Particularly nurses were horrible to each other about complaining what they did on the other floor. Can you believe the emergency room? Blah, blah, blah. Well, you weren't there. You didn't see what happened. It's easy to play armchair quarterback to what someone else did or didn't do, you know. But are we graceful? Is our speech seasoned with salt? And over time, you don't know the fruit of what God's going to do with those seeds that get planted just because you're different. And it shows. It's huge. You know, so we have a great opportunity in our workplace and our schools to be a witness for Christ through our words, our actions, and our attitudes. And with the help of God, we can make a difference to those around us. So let's focus on our representation of Jesus at work and take every opportunity that comes our way to represent well and share our faith. You may be the only minister of the gospel to some of your fellow coworkers and students. They're people that you touch in your line of work. So I've got, like I said, I got a ton more scriptures. I kind of weeded some of them out because it can get a little crazy. So if anybody wants my notes, let me know and I can email them to you. Some of the other scripture references, you know, that I had. You know, if anybody's got any questions, chat about stuff. Not. That's it.